Glad to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, pleased today to welcome Michael Perry to be our guest today. Author, musician, volunteer firefighter. He is known as for a number of things. He's a good musician, but a great writer. And his latest book, Truck, A Love Story, is published now in paperback by HarperCollins. So we're going to talk with him about Truck. We're going to talk with him about some of his other books and also about his singing. And Jim Packard's kind of a singer himself. You've done a little singing, Jim Packard.
I have, Larry, but not to the extent that Michael's done. I'm the short bed version of his long beds, the name of his band. And it's a pleasure to have him, and we're excited about the start of a pledge drive because we get Michael today, and for a pledge of $120, we will send you a copy of Truck, A Love Story by Michael Perry. And we will also include the member benefit card, which entitles you to two-for-one entrees at over 250 restaurants in Wisconsin and nearby. Also, two-for-one admission at symphonies, children's museums, theaters, and more. And something new this fall two nights for the price of one at participating Wisconsin Wisconsin Bed and Breakfast Association members. So that's something that's new. It's two nights for the price of one. And it's an exciting benefit. So for a pledge of $120 at 800-383-9772 or at WPR.org, we'll be glad to send along a copy of the book.
And I tell you what, that $120, you can cover the cost of that $120 with just your two-night stay at a bed and breakfast.
Exactly.
The right bed and breakfast here in Wisconsin. So that's a wonderful, wonderful premium. And essentially, you're getting all this for free in a way, just for a $10 a month contribution. When you contribute to Wisconsin Public Radio, you know you're supporting this program. You know you're supporting people we have on as guests like Michael Perry, who's a lot of fun to talk to. And we'll get a chance to talk to him in just a minute or two. But we want to get our program started out great here because our goal is $12,000. And when you contribute, you're helping us reach our goal of $12,000 for this 90-minute program. So $12,000 is a lot of money, and it's we raise it $120 or $240 at a time. We have many, many listeners who contribute to Wisconsin Public Radio. If you've never contributed, I hope you will contribute during this 90-minute period. We'll be glad to send you a copy of that book. Actually, for $100, we'll send you a copy of the book, but why go for $100 when you can add $20 more and then get the member benefit card as well and essentially be able to cover your costs? So call us right now at 1-800-383-9772. That's 1-800-383-9772. You can also pledge online at WPR.org, WPR.org. And in either case, Jim, it's easy and quick.
It's a win-win situation, as I like to think of it. 800-383-9772. We want you to pledge whatever amount is comfortable for you. We will not share your name or any of your personal information. And there are some companies in Wisconsin, a growing number of companies, that will match your pledge. So you check in at your human resources office to take care of that. But one thing about the member benefit card and this new feature of two nights for the price of one at participating Wisconsin Bed and Breakfast Association members, there's also Bed and Breakfast in Illinois and in Minnesota that are a part of this. So you have a chance to get out of state, maybe, or maybe just go to northern Wisconsin and relax in the North Woods, much as Mikey does there in the Chippewa Valley area.
But he doesn't have to go to a bed and breakfast.
No,
he's already there. He's got his own place.
He's got to go out to the coop. And that's something I'm sure that you'll take up with him, is that his writing is now done in a much more luxurious surroundings than it was when he started off with his first writing of Population 485. But he's a real wonderful writer. He was sitting here just a year ago, and at that point, the hardcover had come out. He still was just, you know, had one daughter in his life. And things have expanded and changed. So we hope that you'll take this opportunity to expand and change and to pledge at 800-383-9772 or at WPR.org.
1-800-383-9772 or WPR.org online. whatever you amount you want to contribute is fine with us. Whatever feels comfortable for you, that's what we want you to contribute. Know that you're supporting something that you listen to, and we hope you enjoy. We know you enjoy it. You wouldn't be listening to it, to our programs. And it's for Jim and I and for Mike Perry and for all the other guests that we have on from 11 to 12:30. It's a nice vote of confidence in the shows that you get to hear during this time period. So give us a call, 1-800-383-9772, or in online at WPR.org. A few people have called in already. What about you? If you haven't called in yet, call in right now. Get it out of the way. 1-800-383-9772. Michael, welcome back.
Morning.
Good to have you.
Well, good to be here.
I tell you what, the hardcover version of Truck did very well.
Apparently, they printed more in paperbacks. They still are sending me out to talk about the books, so that's a good sign, I reckon. Yeah.
Yeah. And the paperback's doing well too. Yeah.
Book's doing better than the truck itself, actually.
Well, I tell you what. For those who don't know, the title is Truck, but tell us what that book's about.
Well, I've said this. I probably said it the last time I was here, but the full title of the book is Truck, A Love Story.
Yeah.
And people ask me all the time, is that a love story about a truck or about a woman? And I always respond with a question of my own. Is there not room enough in a man's heart for both? But originally, it was supposed to be just pretty much a two-thread story. It was supposed to be about the resurrection of a 1951 International L120 long bed three-quarter ton pickup truck. Bought it for $125 or $150 off of some guy who was hauling firewood way back when I was in college. It was my only vehicle for 3 years. That's the only thing I ran. I always had to the gas tank at some point had fallen off, and so somebody had put a some sort of water tank underneath there for a gas tank, and had a pipe coming out of it. And the only way you could check to see how much gas you had was by running a stick down the gullet of that pipe, and I'd carry a stick behind the seat. That was my gas gauge. I'd get out and check it every once in a while. But anyway, that was my vehicle, and then it slowly over the years deteriorated and got to the last several years where it was sitting in my driveway and sinking into the asphalt and had a tree growing through it. And I kept saying, I got to get that thing running, and finally some guy came and tried to buy it off me, and he was an unusual character. I described the scene in the book early on when he showed up. And when he left, I just decided, well, that was probably some sort of sign. And I decided it was time to get it fixed. So at that point, I had to line up someone to help me because I'm mechanically incompetent. I grew up on a farm. I can run equipment. I can, I can change out a spun bearing and do a little welding. But if it gets too complicated, it's lefty loosey, righty tighty, and after that, I pretty much taper off. So I got my brother-in-law to help me, and he becomes a pretty central figure in the book, Mark. And he's one of those guys that I like to describe him first of all as he's a guy who likes to watch a little NASCAR while drinking a beer in his recliner, mm-hmm. which is reupholstered in genuine tree bark camouflage fabric. But I also am quick to point out that his main job is he's a machinist, and he spends his days designing and manufacturing things the rest of us use every day without thinking about it. And I also like to say he's a good husband to my sister, which we appreciate in the family. But he's a great mechanic, and so he decided to he agreed to help me with the truck. So that part of it is just us trying to fix the truck. I say us. Basically, it's me handing him tools and trying not to get in his way. And then the other thread of the book is it's a gardening book. It's a year in the life of my gardening. And I always have said I wanted to write a gardening book because I had it with happy gardening books. I thought it was time for a grim gardening book. And I'm very qualified to write a grim gardening book. So I talk about seed catalogs and the great deception of seed catalogs. All those beautiful pictures. And you order seeds in January based on those photographs. And then, as I say in the book, seed catalogs are responsible for more unfulfilled fantasies than Enron and Playboy combined. So those are the two main things. And then about
about
3 months into the book, I went to the library and I met a woman. And I've been saying at all my readings, I've notified the American Library Association and told them that they are free to use that quote in all of their promotional materials. But then I just write about what happens when a bachelor of some 38, 39 years runs into a woman about whom his friends keep saying, look, don't be an idiot and screw it up again, essentially.
And you don't, and you didn't.
Didn't, not so far, no, no. It's going good. Matter of fact, that, not to give away the end of the book, but it's pretty much public knowledge. He ended up getting married and moved to a little farm, and it was a momentous day on the farm today. I wasn't there for it because I'm on the road, but I got a call at 8:30 this morning from my 7-year-old, and she said that we got chickens this year.
Oh, you and always were going to have chickens.
That was the dream.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're living the dream. We got chickens. I've always said that chickens are more entertaining than TV, and it's true. But anyway, we got these little chicks. A friend of mine helped us raise them early on in the summer, and he kept 13 and gave us 12. He's got 13. We have 6. He's done a little better job with his. We had, I don't know, one just got sick and died overnight, and then another one wandered off behind the burning barrel and never came back. I don't know what happened there. And then 4 of them, someone's dog got into them and got 4 in one fell swoop. But my 7-year-old called this morning, and she went out to the coop to let him out this morning, and we got our first egg.
Oh, big. So,
we're in the egg business now.
That's great.
So she was tickled pink, and I was too, because that's exactly the reason you have chickens, a little bit of self-sufficiency, but also just to, you know, the idea that she can go out and find out where eggs come from. That's terrific.
Michael Perry, our guest. If you want to join in with a question or comment for him, by the way, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or in Madison at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments. I've got lots of questions, but you know what? Bob in Claybanks is online, and let's give him a chance. Hi, Bob. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for having the show.
Sure.
Michael, love your work. Keep it up. Finished the latest book, and I pulled a book off the shelf that I had for years called Truck by a guy named John Jerome that was written in the early 70s. Have you ever heard of that?
Yep, I have that book.
Okay.
he's got a little different subtitle. It was something about post-technological something.
And yeah.
John Jerome was a great inspiration to me. Many years ago, he wrote a book, and I'm going to blank on it now. But it had to do with the writing life, and it was about working as a freelancer. And I remember reading that way back, I believe, in the early 90s, just to learn about freelance writing. John Jerome, his truck, I believe, was a Dodge.
Right.
And I know from reading it, he actually had some mechanical competence as opposed to me. I don't think he leaned quite as heavily on his brother-in-law. But, yeah, John Jerome was a great writer. He died relatively recently. He was a real fit guy, and he wrote about fitness and stuff. But don't quote me on this, but I believe it was cancer. And,
oh boy!
Yeah, relatively recently, he was a great guy, and I think he had a brother who wrote about poetry or some sort of. I may be conflating people now. I've probably said too much. But yeah, that's a great book. There's another book called Rebuilding the Indian, which is written by a guy named Fred, and I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but it's H-A-E-F-E-L-E, and that's about a guy taking an old Indian motorcycle and kind of doing the same thing. So,
well, since you've moved out of Nauburn, I hope they'll still keep up some stories from there for us.
Oh, yes. Part of the deal is my wife and I were both farm kids, and we were always looking to get on back on a farm somewhere, and what happened is that my mother-in-law had a farm, and she had an opportunity that took her out of the country on relatively short notice, and she wanted to keep the farm in the family. And so it was an opportunity that we just couldn't pass up, and it was also a chance to keep a farm in the family. And so we're down near the Fall Creek area now, but no, I'm still a New Auburn regular. As a matter of fact, I'm going up there Saturday to help the fire department cook chicken for the telephone cooperative dinner. So, yeah. No, I'm very happy where I am. We're so lucky to be on this little farm. And like I said, we got ourselves some chickens. And I joined the first responder group down there, and it's been a privilege to be the new guy with that crew. But I've always said, wherever I am standing when I say it, I'm from Nauburn forever and always. But yeah, I still got up there. Matter of fact, I just took we raised 2 pigs this summer also.
Oh.
And the pigs were recently, if I may repurposed. and I took them up to Bob the One-Eyed Beagle to get processed, so if you remember from Population 45. So, yeah.
Thanks, Bob.
Okay,
Appreciate the call. Michael Perry, our guest today, author of, among other things, Truck, A Love Story. It's now published in paperback by HarperCollins. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Michael Perry, our guest today, author of Truck, A Love Story. He'll be, actually, he'll be reading tonight, won't you, Michael, here in town? Or was it?
Yep, at the Borders.
Borders Bookstore in Madison?
Yep. The one out towards the university. I'm blanking on the
University Avenue.
Yes, sir.
Out on University Avenue tonight at 7 o'clock. So if you want to see Michael in person and you're in the Madison area, you're here as part of the Wisconsin Book Festival, which is a great festival.
Oh, it's wonderful. Someone asked me about that the other day, and I said, well, it's wonderful for someone like me for obvious reasons. I mean, they allowed me to read way back when Population 45 first came out. But I'm a book geek, too, so it's tremendous to wander around town and see all this book stuff and writer stuff. And even to prove I'm really a book geek, I was in a coffee shop last night. I got into town late, but I've got a piece due, so I found a coffee shop that was open till midnight, and I sat there and wrote, and then people would come in, and I was trying to figure out, is that Rick Bass? So I love it. I love the book festival.
So, and being an author, and you got your hands in a lot of different things. You write pieces for New Yorker and lots of different places.
That's very kind of you, but I've not ever had a piece in the New Yorker.
They have
not seen fit to recognize my brilliance as of this point. But I'm a writer, small W. I'm trying to make a living. I freelance for many different magazines. I'm working on pieces for three different magazines right now. The books in between, the magazine deadlines come first. People always say, "When's your next book coming out?" And I say, "Oh, I don't know." I'm working on one now that's supposed to be out next fall, and I hope I can make it. But the truth is, the magazine deadlines come first, and that's the primary source of income. And I've got two little girls and, and a farm, and I'm basically just trying to make a living. But it's going fine, and I use this word all the time, but I'm so grateful. I never set out to be a writer, and this all kind of happened by accident, and I'm thrilled to be doing it.
If you'd like to join in with a question or comment for Michael, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Well, see, despite the fact that you're now married and fell in love, you had another love sort of in your life, Irma Harding.
Oh, yes. This is a woman I was obsessed with, and if you read the opening line of chapter one in Truck, A Love Story, the first line is, "I have the hots for Irma Harding." And I go on for several pages about exactly why I have the hots for her, and in great detail I describe the things that trip my trigger as far as Irma. The only problem being she never existed. She's someone that was manufactured to represent the International Harvester Company, in particular to promote their line of freezers and refrigerators. So I got to spend some wonderful time just mooning over her picture, staring at it and studying it and deciding why I love this woman who never existed. And then it just kind of unraveled from there. So I think those who knew me were thrilled when I actually fell in love with a real woman. But
well, it was, I tell you, the book itself, there's so many points in the book where I just laughing. I gave it to my wife to read. And we always read in bed at night. We have a 4-year-old at home, so she goes to bed early,
Sure.
And so you don't want to have the television or the radio on, so you read. And that's a great thing. So I read a lot of books. So she'd be sitting there, and pretty soon the bed would start to shake. And I'd say, "Okay, where are you now?"
And
she'd say, "Well, it was when Irma," or whatever, or something about the garden or what have you.
Well, you always wonder because, a lot of that stuff, I'm writing at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I always say fueled by coffee and desperation. And you rewrite and rewrite those lines, and you don't know if what you think is funny, other people are going to think is funny. And a lot of it, I get the chance to read it in public and see if people actually laugh. But a lot of it, you don't. I mean, there's no way to read your entire book to folks. And so sometimes you lay stuff out there and you hope that they're going to laugh. And it's nice to know that. It's nice to know that they're laughing the right places, too.
Well, Chet in Green Bay is online. So let's go to Chet. Hi, Chet. Thanks for calling.
Well, thank you for having me. The reason for my call is I'm 58 years old, and I grew up on a farm in southwestern Juneau County. And my father always had the most hideous green International pickups that you had ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when I was about 12 years old learning to drive on them and periodically denting and smashing them for them. And now I would give virtually anything if I could go relocate one of my dad's hideous old green pickups and bring it back to life.
Well, first of all, you must have been a real maniac, because if you could dent one of those old Internationals, you had quite a head of steam up. Because,
well, it's amazing how many times I backed it into the silo or the feed bunk or the barn.
But knowing the way that Internationals were built, I'm surprised you didn't just knock the silo over. They were built sturdy, that's for sure. I think you could build five or six of today's pickup trucks out of one old International. I've heard, I don't know if this is true, I'm not an expert, by the way. I love those Internationals, but it's a pretty amateur sort of love. But I've heard that they're getting a little tougher to find because, you know, they've done all the Fords and the Chevys, and now they're starting to dig the Internationals out of the weeds. So
that's probably true, but I really did enjoy your book. I thought it was very well crafted. I enjoyed the storyline, and I particularly enjoyed all the attention to the little detail. That's what I like in reading a good book, and it's so hard to find a good book, particularly by a Wisconsin author, it seems. So I really enjoyed your work, and I'm looking forward to your next book.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thanks very much for calling. And that little detail, you know, sometimes it almost seems like a little throwaway line, but those little details take a lot of work to research, and just that one line or two lines sometimes.
Yeah, I was just talking to someone the other day about how that process works, and I was talking about, I wrote an article once about monster trucks, and mm-hmm. It's one of my favorite pieces. It's many years old now, and I talked about the fact that I didn't really know anything about monster trucks other than, you know, their cultural significance, which is obvious, but I talked about going down to Indianapolis for the World Monster Truck Drag Racing Championships. I don't know if I got the title exactly right, and hanging out for 3 days with the guy who drives Bigfoot, which is the archetypical monster truck, mm-hmm. and just sitting inside of Bigfoot and strapping yourself in, and how that I have pages and pages in my notebook of everything I could see, you know, 11 toggle switches, and not only 11, but a label underneath each one, and what did the label say, and noticing that there were blue arrows painted inside the cab that pointed up, which was a joke. The crew had done this after the guy had rolled it, and little things like noticing that the floorboards on a monster truck are transparent, they're see-through, and they make them out of Lexan, a bulletproof material that you can see through, because they actually, once the monster truck hits that first car and is pointing at the sky, if they
look
out through the windshield, yeah, all you see is sky or the top of the auditorium. And so they look down past the clutch pedals through the floorboards to steer, to see where they're going to land. And that the reason that's important is because there's all this momentum with the weight of the spinning wheels, and the fronts and backs both steer independently. And there's this great art to getting a monster truck lined up so that it lands properly. And I said, you come home with pages and pages, and you only are going to end up using 2 or 3% of that, but you don't know which 2 or 3%. And so you really overwrite, I think, at first. And I think I can trace some of that back to there's an author and a teacher in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, a guy named John Hildebrand. He still teaches at UW Eau Claire, and he introduced me to John McPhee. And the writer John McPhee has this thing where you'll be reading one of his pieces, and all of a sudden there'll be a paragraph that's almost just a straightforward list. I think there's a famous one where he's talking about going to a farmer's market, and he just starts rattling off the names of produce. And he doesn't even explain to you what they are or describe them any more than just giving these wonderful names. And what that does is, rather than make you go, well, I don't know what a kumquat is, it makes you feel as if John McPhee really took time to pay attention and to see what's going on. And so you can therefore trust whatever else he has to say. So if anything, I think sometimes that's what those little details are for. They're just to let folks know that, yeah, I really did my best to pay attention. And yeah.
Fran in Port Washington, your turn. Hi, Fran.
Hi. Michael, I won your book.
Oh, jeepers.
The Red Truck Wine Company in California offered your book if you sent them an essay on a truck.
Oh, terrific. I had heard about that. I went to the website a couple times and saw some beautiful trucks there. Yeah.
So on our walk, there's a truck that was sitting in the front yard of a home all summer long. And I said, I want that truck. And my husband says, what are you going to do with the truck? Who's going to fix it? Because it needed work. So in the essay to the Red Truck Wine Company, I explained that truck. And that was in November, and in December, they sent me your book.
Well, terrific. I'm glad to hear they're doing that. And I also am glad that you called because, you know, I've already been guilty of this in the show today, but there tends to be a lot of talk about guys and their trucks. And being a guy from where I come from, I know better. And I have a little section in the book about women and trucks. But the number of emails that I've received from female readers who talk about a truck they had when they were young, I've learned there are a lot of ladies of a certain age who are out there running around in pickup trucks and old pickup trucks. So I appreciate your call. That's fun to hear from.
Thanks, Fran.
Okay.
Did they post your story online?
I'm not sure. I looked and looked and looked, but I didn't see it. So,
oh, too bad.
Yeah, I know.
I'd go look it up if I could.
Maybe you should send the book back and see if they'll send you a bottle of that wine.
Well, I bought a couple bottles of their wine.
Okay.
It's okay.
Okay.
Thanks, Fred.
I thought that was funny. They asked if they could do that. And, of course, I said, fine with me. It seems like a terrific way to get the book out to a different audience. But I had to tell them that I'm a teetotaler. So I said, do you mind? They said, oh, no, it's okay.
Okay.
So I always ask people, well, what do you think of the wine?
Thanks, Fran. Carl in Waterloo, your turn. Hi, Carl.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just want to make a comment. I've been a firefighter for about 14 years, and I thoroughly enjoyed 485. And both my grandparents, one was a dairy farmer and one raised horses, so I came from a rural background. And I think Mike did a good job of capturing the hardships that rural people go through. And he also did an excellent job of capturing, you know, as a firefighter, you're at a minimum a first responder. And to be a first responder is quite often to see people pass away in front of you. And he did a very good job in 485 of describing that, especially on that, I believe it was a young lady on a curve in the road. I think it was a car accident of some sort. But anyway, I just want to comment that for people that don't know what's going on in rural Wisconsin or rural communities, and also find that, you know, like being a firefighter is a mystery, he does a very good job of conveying that. And the other thing, too, is he did a good job as a commentator on, I believe, was Into the Fire, the documentary.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
And you did a very good job on that, too.
Well, thanks.
And so if you don't get any magazine articles, you could maybe
write some more
for some egg money. But no, actually, I just want to commend you on your accuracy and your ability to capture the feeling of the moment, the deep, very deep emotional feelings of those moments. And I'll hang up, and thank you for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks, Carl. And I'm sure you want to make a comment, Michael.
Well, I thank him, obviously. But, you know, I've been working and volunteering in EMS, the medical side, I think for about 20 years now. I think I got my license in 1988. I started with the New Auburn Fire Department in 1995, and the 12 years I had with those folks, I get emotional talking about it because it was a privilege. You know, you'll hear about, well, there's hero talk and there's, no, you know what? What I took from that experience was life-changing. It will stay with me forever. And, you know, he mentioned the aspect of death. And where I've moved to now, I already mentioned that I haven't joined the local fire department as of yet, but I have joined up as a first responder.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of funny because I'm in a new area. You know, I'm trying to read the map and figure out where I'm going. But there's just this constant reminder. And one of the reasons that I continue to stick with it is there's this constant reminder of your mortality. Mm-hmm. And it's not a grim thing, and it's not morbid. It's just healthy. And, and it just makes me, you know, I keep using the grateful word, but I get to do something that I really love, but and come to book festivals. And this is fun, and I love it. You know, it's so nice when people call and say great things about your writing. But then to go home and put the pager on and go to a trailer house where some lady's having chest pain, that's important because that reminds you that, you know what, one of these days it'll be you. You know, whether you drop a tree on your leg or whether it's chest pain or whatever it is, you're going to need help and that we're all vulnerable. And I think I'm the one that benefits from being a part of that. It just keeps your head on straight. So I appreciate his comments.
Thanks, Carl. Mary in La Crosse, your turn. Hi, Mary.
Thank you. I wish I could sit down and talk with Michael for about 2 days. Michael, the first thing I have to tell you is you have replaced James Herriot for me when I would have the flu or be not feeling well or something for a few days, and I crawl into bed with all my James Herriot books. And now, after hearing you... after hearing them read 485 on Chapter a Day, and hearing you on Michael Feldman's show, I got your books last Christmas for a Christmas present, and one of the things, well, I've got several things. One of the funniest things, though, that I laugh and laugh, is when you stepped out of the ambulance and fell into this four-foot hole.
Oh, yeah.
That breaks me up every time I read it. I don't have a computer, but I'm wondering, but my son does, I'm going to be laid up for 6 weeks with foot surgery, and how do I get everything that you've written besides 485 and Truck, which I just can't tell you. Gosh, I'm so glad you live in Wisconsin, but I have some other questions too. But that one first, how can I get all your other articles?
Well, I have a website like everybody else and their grandma at this point. It's www.sneezingcow.com.
Sneezing
and cow, spelled as you'd expect with no space between them.
Okay.
And that's got all of the CDs and the live humor and the books and even some of the books that I self-published. Not all of them. There are a couple out there that I self-published that I encourage people to round them up and send them to me so that I can be the guy that burns them. That's there. And also, most of my stuff, even the self-published stuff, has what's called an ISBN number, and your local bookstore can usually track them down also. I like to make sure. But that Sneezing Cow certainly would give you a place to start. There are also links to a lot of articles I've written on there. Some fellow emailed me the other day and pointed out that several of those links have been broken over time, and I agree with him. It's on the list. What can I say? But there are some that are still active.
And you also have a collection of your essays in one of your books, Off Main Street.
Off Main Street collects a number of essays and magazine pieces.
Is that at bookstores?
It should be, and if it's not, it was published and is still in print with Harper Perennial, so any bookstore should be able to track that down pretty easily. It's called Off Main Street.
Okay. And when I read your books, I need to sit with a dictionary because you have a vocabulary that includes words that I've never heard before. And so that's good. That's wonderful, too. I do have a question, though. Well, let's see. What else was I going to tell you, though? I was going to tell you something else that I enjoyed. But, you have a new little girl. You have a new daughter?
I do.
And, okay. And how old is Amy now then?
Amy is 7, and we have another little daughter. She just turned 6 months, and she's sprouting teeth. So we've sort of stopped sleeping lately. And we're getting all kinds of advice on how to handle teething, my favorite of which came from an old pediatrician I ran into recently. I don't know if he was old, but he said, well, what you need is some brandy. And I started to nod because everyone says, you know, the old timers used to rub it on the gums. And the guy goes, no, you give it to mom. Let her drink as much. But anyway, yes, we have two. And your comment about the words, you know what? That comes up a lot. And I get nervous sometimes because it used to bother me a lot because I don't want people to think I'm showing off. Where I come from, that's a real tin horn trick to whip out a big word just to try and prove you're smart. But what I do say is I love poetry and I love poets and I love the way poets approach words. And they, you know, Dylan Thomas used to talk about choosing words for their taste over their meaning. And if I find a word that's got beautiful rhythm and it's shiny and furthermore means exactly what you're trying to express, then I think in this day and age, you might as well trot it out there. I've had some people say, well, you know, you write colloquially and, you know, I talk about me and a chief who went down to the down to the cafe.
Yeah.
Well, that's the way I talk. That's comfortable. That's like old jeans for me. But that doesn't mean that we can't raise the bar occasionally. And mm-hmm. I don't mind. I love learning new mm-hmm. words. And I think the bottom line with it is that I can usually spell them. I know what they mean. I can't always pronounce them. And I think I wrote in Truck that I worried about that for a long time, about what people might think if I was trying to have it both ways by mm-hmm. claiming to be a blue-collar guy. But then, and finally, it was all taken care of for me by this neighbor lady. She still lives in New Auburn. Her name's Ramona, and she's known me since I was a tot. And some lady said, oh, the words he uses are so beautiful, and they fit in, you know, they're poetic and everything. And this Ramona, who's a farm wife, who used to change my pants, just looked at this lady and said, yeah, well, that ain't the way he talks. I go, well, there you go. She got me off the hook.
And I think it's got, you know, I've had to dig into the dictionary once or twice myself, but I liked it.
But
it
I go to the dictionary. I mean, sure. I read people and have to go to the dictionary all the time. And I just love words. And I think, you know, I'm not in any sort of crusade, but I'm also not ready to surrender. You know, let's keep them in circulation.
You bet.
And I love the James Herriot books, by the way. I read those over and over. And as a matter of fact, if you would go, I'm not going to tell you where my car is parked at a hotel here in Madison right now, but if you go in the back seat, there's a dog-eared copy of All Creatures Great and Small sitting there right now, because I'm rereading it for about the 57th time.
Yeah. I saw you on Dave Carlson's show, too, and I was so touched about how you talked about Amy. And the last question I have to ask you, I asked Jim if I dared ask this. You talk about the loss of, I believe, a sister and a brother. And I was just curious how that happened, if you're able to talk about it.
Yeah, I can talk. But my mom over the years has taken care of a number of children who have severe disabilities, and often medical in nature. And my first little sister was a little girl with Down syndrome, and along with that, some heart and lung problems. And she had many surgeries over the years. She was with us from, I believe, the age of 2 months until she died, somewhere around 5 or 6 years old. And it was because of complications with her heart and lungs. And then I had another little brother who was with us, oh gosh, I think 11 years. He died when he was 11, and he had severe hydranencephaly and some other medical issues, and was not expected to live until the age of even 2, as I recall, and died when he was 11. So That's the story on both those.
Your mother is a saint, and thank you so much. And keep writing, and I'm going to keep reading your stuff. Thank you.
I'm very grateful. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. Thank you very much for calling. Michael Perry, our guest today, author of a number of things, including one of the books we've been mostly talking about, Truck, A Love Story, now out in paperback by HarperCollins. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking today with Michael Perry, author of Truck, A Love Story, and Jim Packard joining us as well here. And Jim, we've moving along toward our goal of $12,000, still a ways to go. And how do people really get into this whole business of giving to
the telephone?
Is that what they do?
And dial 1-800-383-9772 or... if you're on your computer, you can go to WPR.org and pledge online. And if you pledge at $100, we'll send along a copy of Truck, A Love Story, Michael Perry, the paperback edition. But if you just squeeze another $20 in for a pledge of $120, we'll also include the member benefit card, which entitles you to 2-for-1 entrees at over 250 restaurants. You remember when we started, Larry, it was just over 100, maybe 100 mm-hmm. and a quarter, and now that's grown as people have suggested other restaurants, and they've been included as well. So 2-for-1 entrees at over 250 restaurants. There's a performance and attractions benefit, which means 2-for-1 admission at symphonies, children's museums, Michael can use that, theaters, and more. And the online shopping discounts, and then new this fall, the bed and breakfast benefit. 2 nights for the price of 1 at 44 participating bed and breakfasts in Wisconsin, Illinois, and Minnesota.
And you don't have to pay it all right now. You can pay it on a monthly basis. If, let's say, it's $120 contribution. We can have you take it out $10 a month.
Or quarterly.
Or quarterly. You can do it quarterly as well. Regardless, it's easy to do. And I tell you what, as you listen to Michael Perry today, I think here's an example of a wonderful guest who's got a lot to offer and it's so much fun to talk with Mike. He's also a Wisconsin Public Radio fan. Actually, you write about that a little bit in your book, don't you, Michael?
Yep. Yeah, I read about being in the basement trying to start my garden and listening to WPR.
But I don't think you mentioned Larry's name.
Not specifically. No.
But there's no one else that...
He's there in spirit.
Well, there was no one else that could possibly have been who you're referring to but Larry. And so sometimes it's unsaid and unspoken, and that gets the point across. The point for us, though, right now is to make sure that we meet our goal. Our goal is $12,000, and we would like to get your pledge in-house and in order, and you make your decision on day one of the drive to pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio at 800-383-9772. That $120 pledge is $10 a month, or you can do it quarterly. You can put it on a variety of options, including... I'm trying to think of the...
MasterCard?
No, the state employee discount. No, the...
Electronic... Well,
electronic funds transfer.
Yeah.
That's what a lot of people are using now. There's so many options, you can't think of them all. But we do have a friendly volunteer who's at the phone who can spell them out for you if you need it at 800-383-9772 or WPR.org.
You know, we've really had a community... This is a real community of listeners. It's fun to... hear from people. I get lots of emails. I get phone calls. I was just talking with somebody on the phone this morning who called me, and we were talking a little bit about muskie fishing. And he had some questions about muskie fishing and just called in, and we talked. Well, he's somebody I know kind of because he knows me because he listens to Wisconsin Public Radio. You get to know people like Mike Perry because he's a guest on this program. We hear from Sydney and Edgerton, who says, I just love this station. I listen to it a lot. Richard in Wausau said, my job puts me in the vehicle a lot. I like listening. Really enjoy some of the authors you've had, including Michael. I've gotten out and bought their books right out of the car. You've got an uncanny way of coming up with topics that interest a lot of people. And that's something that we really try to do very hard during all of our programming on Wisconsin Public Radio, but certainly something we shoot hard for during this 11 to 12:30 time slot.
There's a lot of head scratching that goes on about which guests are going to be right for this particular day. And there's no doubt that Michael Perry was the choice for day one to kick us off, if we could fit that in. He's going to be talking tonight at Borders West, and you'll have a chance to see him in person and quiz him about the fun that it is to be on Larry's show.
And, Mike, do you ever hear from people when you've been on one of the public radio shows?
Oh, sure. That's why I'm so terrified about everything I say. What kind of price am I going to pay when I get back home? No, absolutely. Absolutely. And where I'm from, there are two ways that I can guarantee that people say, hey, I heard you on the radio. And one is to be on Moose Country 106.7, where they play Loretta and George Jones. And the other is to be on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Yeah. Well, we hear that a lot from our guests who we have on the show. They sometimes seem surprised. Geez, I couldn't believe you'll get this. I couldn't believe I heard from so many people that they heard me on Wisconsin Public Radio. Well, it's a big community of listeners out there. There's about 500,000 or so listeners. And how many of them, Jim? About 100,000 or so contribute to Wisconsin?
No, I think that's a little bit high. Say maybe 1 in 10. 1 in 9 listeners participates by pledging to Wisconsin Public Radio. And, you know, when we began to offer web pledging, that has grown substantially as people have taken that opportunity. They don't have to call. They can do it when they want to. And it counts in this hour. It counts towards our goal of $12,000. And if I'm right, we're only about $130 away. So your pledge of $130 will pick up the copy of the book Truck, a love story by Michael Perry, also the author of Population 485. And we'll send you the member benefit card, which entitles you to 2-for-1 entrees at restaurants, 2-for-1 admission at various performances and attractions, some online shopping discounts, and the bed and breakfast benefit of 2 nights for the price of 1 at 800-383-9772 or, of course, WPR.org.
And, you know, you sometimes wonder what converts a Wisconsin Public Radio listener into a Wisconsin Public Radio contributor. And I think one reason is the desire to kind of make a difference. It turns out a lot of people who listen to Wisconsin Public Radio are the same kinds of people who get involved in activities like Michael does. Maybe they're not volunteer fire department folks, but they're involved in a lot of community activities, and they're working to improve the communities in which they live. And that's one of the things we try to do here at Wisconsin Public Radio. And I guess giving to Wisconsin Public Radio is one of those activities. So, you know, your new membership today will not only pay for the programs you listen to, it also gives the opportunity for someone else in your neighborhood to discover Wisconsin Public Radio. And tell you what, $120 contribution would be wonderful today. If you can afford more, or if you'd like to contribute more, that would be wonderful as well. But for $120, as Jim's been saying, we'll send you a copy of Michael's book, and we'll send you the member benefit card. And we've had so many people call today. I've read the book. We were talking to Mary Kay Shearer earlier, and she said, "Oh, I've read the book. I gave it to my sister, and I went to my uncle, and you know." So it goes around. But tell you what, if you've already read the book, we'll send you a copy anyway, and you can, you know, the holiday season
That's
isn't
right.
that
Use
far off.
Use
it for a gift during this holiday season. Regardless of your motivation, whether you just enjoy listening to Michael Perry or you like Wisconsin Public Radio, when you contribute, you're going to make a big difference for us. You're going to help us pay for our newscasts. You're going to help us pay for our online, our phone lines that we have where you can call toll-free. Doesn't cost anything to call here. So anybody can call regardless of their income level. And so you're helping pay for those who maybe wouldn't be able to call and make a long-distance call. And for the programs, for the ideas that we come up with, for all the people behind the scenes who, not only for those of us who get to talk on the air all the time, but for those who labor as engineers and other people here at Wisconsin Public Radio, you're helping support this whole community of Wisconsin Public Radio staff, and we want our community of listeners to help out the community here at Wisconsin Public Radio. And you can do it with a contribution of $120 or more, whatever amount is comfortable for you, frankly, is what we'd like you to contribute. Call in right now at 1-800-383-9772, or you can pledge online at WPR.org.
I know, Larry, you mentioned that if you've read the book, you may want to get an extra copy. The reason you'd want to get an extra copy is because we've got postscripts. We find
That's
out.
That's right. We find out a few things.
We find out what Irma Harding has in common with Hugh Hefner and Santa Claus. I mean, that's just on page one of the postscript. So there's a lot in here that you're going to want to know. There's material about Michael. He brings you up to date with what's going on. He equates his writing career to cleaning calf pens. Just keep shoveling, and eventually you've got a pile so big, someone will notice.
Amen.
You find out about Irma and company, get an update. Mm-hmm. Find out that Irma's been out in the fields. She's not just sitting home. She's got work to do. He took the truck deer hunting again. Mm-hmm. We'll find out about that. And I suppose we'll find out whether or not Irma's going to get out this fall or whether you're going to be too busy on the road to do that.
Oh, one is never too busy
to
be home the last week in November.
800-383-9772 or WPR.org gets you a copy when you pledge at $120 level at that number, 800-383-9772. Larry, we're having a good morning here. We're mm-hmm. having an excellent response to get this drive off and running. And so we just want to make sure that you don't miss out on your opportunity to get a copy of Truck, A Love Story by Michael Perry with your pledge at 1-800-383-9772.
And we heard from Sydney in Edgerton, says, "I just love the program. I listen to it a lot. Rosalind and Madison, it's the only thing that I listen to Amy in Stoughton says it's probably my first and second choice for listening, both first and second choice. If Wisconsin Public Radio and this program is high up on your choice of programs to listen to, why not contribute right now? We're closing in on our top of the hour, and we're going to be spending more time talking with Michael Perry for sure, and you're going to have a chance to ask him your questions or make your comments. But for now, just give us a call at 1-800-383-9772. When you do, you're going to feel good knowing that you supported Wisconsin Public Radio. I've got this out of the way. We're on the first day of the pledge drive. I've made my contribution. I can be smug and know that I've done my part, and now let's let everybody else do their part. So if you haven't done your part yet, when you contribute, you're going to feel really good about it. And if you contribute at least $120, when you contribute $120, we're going to send you a copy of the book and the member benefit card. If you can contribute more than that, and I'm told that we've had some very nice contributions this morning, some into the thousands of dollars from some anonymous contributors. That's just wonderful. Some people can't afford to do that. Maybe you can, maybe you can't. Whatever you can afford is what we want you to contribute. And do it online at WPR.org or just pick up the phone, 1-800-383-9772. Phones are ringing, but there's always a line open for you at that 1-800-383-9772 number. Joanne and Mequon made a contribution and said, I'm a hospice nurse and listen to WPR all of the time. If you listen all the time, or if you listen to a favorite show or two, why not contribute now at 1-800-383-9772? We're going to be taking a little break for a look at the news. And when we come back, we'll be visiting some more with Michael Perry. And while we're doing that break, why don't you call in? 1-800-383-9772 or go online to WPR.org and make your contribution and make it right now. Great to have the opportunity to speak today with Michael Perry, author of Truck, A Love Story. It's now out in paperback. By HarperCollins. We talked with him a year ago when his book was out in hardcover, and really pleased to have him back today to talk about the book and actually to be able to offer you a copy of the book with your contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio during this fund drive. He'll be reading tonight at 7 o'clock at Borders West in Madison. That's on University Avenue. He'll be reading. It's part of the Wisconsin Book Festival. So we're really happy to have him here. And if you want to join in with your questions or comments, please feel free to call in at 1-800-642-1234. And Paul has been waiting quite a while here. So let's get Paul from Muscadet on the line. Paul, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hello. I wander around my yard out here. I live in the woods. And that's one of the nice things about cell phones is, you know, I can go down to the garden and go here and go there and do that stuff. So it's not so bad. I even went out and turned my old pickup on. I'm listening to that idle. So I started off by calling in to say, you know, Michael, by the way, it's so good to talk with you. I just finished reading your book, Truck, but go back to my point. I had an old International back in the 70s, you know, flatbed, red, you know, a friend of mine, a mechanic, we took the engine apart and rebuilt it and stuff like that. And, you know, it was a true, I don't know what you call it, you know, love affair with a truck. And the thing got so hard to steer, you know, I mean, like you say, these trucks, you know, aren't exactly, they're not like trucks are today, you know, these are working trucks. I would go to Madison with it, and I couldn't hardly steer around the corner, but when I did, everybody would take a look at this truck, and, you know, you can imagine what I must have looked back in the early 70s, and they just get out of the way.
That's right. I would say with the old Internationals, you don't so much steer them as kind of suggest where you'd like to go. And then I also say, if, for instance, if a deer runs out in front of you, you don't try to avoid it. You just drop the hammer because they are meant to run over, not avoid.
Paul, thanks a lot for
not
calling.
Not that dropping the hammer on an international results in any sort of great burst of speed.
No.
No, I love that story because he's kind of right. If you come down the road in a big old international truck and it kind of kicks to the left and then to the right because the kingpin's loose or whatever, it's folks generally just decide that discretion is the better part of valor. Head for the ditch.
And they know that they're going to be hurt worse than you are, that international, that's for sure. Paul, thanks. Gay and Madison, let's give you a chance. Hi, Gay.
Yeah, hi. I've almost cleaned my entire downstairs while waiting, and that's a good thing, as Martha would say.
Terrific.
I wasn't wearing a frilly little apron and singing Donna Summers or anything, as you say you do.
Donna Fargo, yeah. I got caught.
Donna Fargo, yeah.
Yeah, I got caught singing I'm the Happiest Girl in the whole USA by the town maintenance man.
I met you last week or a couple weeks ago at Viroqua, and I told you I'm teaching your books, and I don't want you to give up the good fight of keeping poetry and good language and a precise language in, even though it does give students trouble. And they're constantly asking me, and I'm constantly saying, go look it up, you know, after class and after you're done reading, go look it up. You know, it's good for you to have a good vocabulary. So one thing I've been trying to push, though, and trying to show them is that while we know you like poetry and Kenneth Rexroth and Greg Brown and people like that, that your prose can be scanned very easily into lines of poetry with wonderful sound effects. And so I do it for them. I show them how it could be done. My creative writing students are doing it themselves now. And but my freshmen say, come on, did he mean to do that? And I say, maybe not consciously, maybe consciously, but I know that he revises constantly. So, you know, probably.
Well, I don't. The answer I have for you there is that, yeah, technically I'm not real proficient. I can't diagram a sentence and things like that. But what I do, I guess, is write by ear, and I do read my stuff aloud over and over, and I edit and revise obsessively. Yeah. As a matter of fact, that's my favorite part of the process, which sometimes folks find unusual. But I find the early part where you're trying to assemble it and gather the big chunks, I call that the heavy lifting. Mm-hmm. But I love to sit down with a line and just go over and over and over. And I think that comes from the early days when a lot of the folks who took the time to talk to me about writing, you know, I used to go around saying I was self-taught, and I've stopped saying that because it's untrue and unattractive. There have been people every step of the way who, for no reason other than their kind interest, have talked to me about writing and introduced me to other writers and books. And early on, a lot of it was poetry, and it was poets and people who said you should read this or that poet. And so I got this early introduction to language through poets, and I think that that idea of revising and revising has stuck with me. One of my very favorite quotes, and I don't know if I've ever used it on your show, but my editors eventually have to just demand that I turn stuff in, because I will sit and revise forever, never finish, because I like the famous poet, and I can't tell you who it was, but said, a poem is never finished. It is only abandoned in despair. And that's how I feel about my stuff. Whether, you know, it might be an article about cholesterol for men's health, but I'm like, oh, just one more day, you know, just one more pass. But I thank you for that.
Thanks, Gay. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Jay in New Auburn, your turn. Hi, Jay.
Hi, guys. I just wanted to call for a couple of reasons. First of all, to thank Michael for letting me use his garage, even though he maybe didn't realize it. Mutual friend Frank let me put some of my father's stuff in there until the dump in New Auburn opened.
Oh, great. You're the guy.
Yeah, I'm the guy.
I called, you know, you think, he actually told me I was going to do that, and I actually called the town. We have a peace officer in town on a very part-time basis these days, and I called him ahead of time to say, you know, when you see this guy going to my garage, don't shoot him.
Well, thank you. I assume you're talking about Lynn, and I know Lynn. So,
yeah.
We've met a couple of times, I think. I've got the old farm on Dover Road, the Davis/Nelson farm.
Sure, I'm
familiar. I had a cornfield fire and had to be helped out in an ambulance once out there. So,
it's very likely.
I knew Ernie at the time, so I went and spoke directly with him. But I've yet to read your book, Truck, but I really, really enjoyed 485. My son has read it, and although I've seen your truck in the driveway, it kind of reminds me of a big, like a Morgan workhorse or something, to see it sitting there.
Oh, it's a thing of beauty. It'll put a lump in your throat. It's I've got it down at the farm now, of course. Yeah, it was in my, well, you know, the village is very patient with me. For many years, it sat there in its rusted form, and it really quite literally sank into the asphalt. I said in the book, I'm no home improvement specialist, but if you have to mow your asphalt driveway, there's probably work to be done. But it's a thing of beauty. We trimmed it it down a little bit and painted it green. It looks like a MASH truck is what it looks like.
Thanks, Jay. LaVon and Madison, hi to you.
Hi. Oh, thank you so much for letting me speak with Michael. I just love your books. I haven't read the truck book, but I believe you did it on Chapter a Day, right? You read it?
Jim Fleming read it, you bet.
Yep, and I listened to it, and I was just in tears, especially every time you talk about your mom. I just love the way that you convey how you feel about your mom. And also, I want to let you know that you're just an inspiration. I have some stories I'd like to write someday, but I have some learning to do yet before I can write a book. But you're already teaching me that when you share a story, you should always try to convey the love and the humor, just in everything.
Well, I thank you for that. I get very foot shuffly at comments like that because I am a deeply flawed guy. Just I said earlier, trying to make a living. I fell into this. I love what I do, and I'm grateful to do it. But you know, as far as encouragement, just keep typing. I mean, that's what I do. I write every day. I wrote last, you know, I got to town last night just so that I could take some time and get some writing done. I have deadlines that drive me at this point, but I thank you for your kind words. But
oh, you're welcome. I'm from a small town too, from Kendall, Wisconsin, which I don't know. I think they might be at population 400 something right now.
Oh, see, you can do the small town thing where we try to out small each other. That's all.
Exactly. Yeah.
Thanks, LaVon.
Thank
you're
you.
Welcome. Thank you.
And Jim in Eau Claire. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Mr. Perry.
Oh, howdy.
I met you once at Adams Automotive in Eau Claire.
Okay.
When you dropped off Mrs. Perry's car for Scott to look at.
Sure.
I've heard both of your books on the radio.
All right.
I've not had a chance to read them yet, but my brother is supposed to be reading 485. I'll see him this weekend, find out if he actually read it.
Sure.
Mr. Frank and Mr. and Mrs. Smoots speak very highly of you.
Well, that's very kind of them. I keep them on retainer for just that purpose.
Oh,
well, this is a guy that knows if I've dropped the car off there, he knows exactly and very specifically the limits of my mechanical abilities. He probably also knows that if he's talking about my wife's vehicle, that is a $1,000 minivan, and I write about it in truck. You run the windshield wipers with a light switch, so they're either all on or all off, and you gotta kind of time it. If you want them to be flat, you gotta learn to switch it off when they're down. Although what I really like is that. And by the way, I don't use the term minivan because a guy like me would never drive a minivan. Mm-hmm. I call it the Fambulance. but the thing I like about being able to stop the windshield wipers in any position is that you can also, if I'm on a long trip going, I stop them so that they're straight up and down because it's my theory that that's less wind resistance and also some sort of lateral stabilization.
Well, I tell you what, we have a pretty stable operation here at Wisconsin Public Radio, and one of the most stable people I know is Jim Packer, Gentleman Jim.
Thank you, Larry.
And joined us once more here. And Jim, here we are boiling down to the last, and I see we had $3,900 left of the half hour to go. We actually beat our goal through the first hour, but we've got about $3,900 for our sort of a last half hour goal, and let's meet that goal.
At $120 a crack, we can do it, and we can do it with your pledge at 800-383-9772. And when you pledge at that amount, we'll be glad to send you a copy of Truck, A Love Story, the paperback edition by Michael Perry, which has some insights and interviews added at the end that will enhance your reading pleasure, bring you up to date with what's been going on with Michael. And we'll also send you the member benefit card, and that's got an attraction that's new this fall, and that's the Bed and Breakfast Benefit. Two nights for the price of one. That's right. Two nights for the price of one, plus your two-for-one admission at various performances and attractions, and the two-for-one entrees at over 250 restaurants in Wisconsin and adjoining states. So that's available to you with your pledge at WPR.org or at 800-383-9772. And I know that you're going to be pleased because you're going to be able to recover the cost of the membership in a short order.
And the book.
One night stay, and the book, of course, with one night stay or a couple of nights out at a restaurant while you've got that money covered and you're at that point skating on good ice. So give us a pledge right now and help us meet this goal, $3,900. We can break that down, and we can do it with your assistance this afternoon.
Actually, about 35 or so pledges or thereabout contributions, and you can be the first one to do that at 1-800-383-9772. I know at least one person has joined the 9XM Leadership Circle during this hour, Jim, and I'm a member of that 9XM Leadership Circle myself. It's $500 or more for that contribution at that level. You can pay that in installments if you want to. I just sort of do it in a couple of two or three chunks over the course of the years, how I do it. And you can do it quarterly if you want to do it that way. And when
and
you're
there's a secret handshake involved.
There's a secret handshake to
That's
get into
sort of
the meeting.
That's sort of to all of this, isn't it?
Yeah, I know the secret handshake, and I have given the secret handshake out to others. Well, last summer when we had our party at my home, one of the guys came up who would contribute and said, "Okay, what's the secret handshake?" And I gave it to him, and he said, "Man, that's a handshake." And I said, "Well, that's how you get into the meetings. You can't get in without it."
I haven't quite reached that stratosphere yet, but I wish I could. And when I do, then I'll be able to get the handshake.
I'm not giving it to you before that.
No, I wouldn't expect it beforehand. Everything's on the up and up around here at 1-800-383-9772.
1-800-383-9772. And don't forget about the online pledging, too. You can do it online at WPR.org. You can join Linda and Jeff in Rice Lake. Have been listening for years, and they listen for hours each week, part of their life, and want to let everybody else know that they should contribute too. And if you have never contributed to Wisconsin Public Radio, I'm going to put in a special little plea to you. When you contribute to Wisconsin Public Radio, you become part of our community of listeners who have contributed, our community of contributing listeners. And it's an important community for us. And we're always looking for people who have not contributed before. About, say, 1 out of 10 or so people who listen actually contribute. I think that's what we were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. We'd love to nudge that up to 2 or 3 out of 10, or maybe even 5 out of 10. That'd be great. If we could get 5 out of 10, that would be wonderful. The only way we can do that is with your help. And when you contribute, that's, say, $120, or maybe you join the 9XM Leadership Circle at $500, whatever feels comfortable for you, frankly, is what we would like you to contribute. When you do that, you're going to feel good knowing that you've helped bring people like Michael Perry to the program. And the Garden Talk, I was wondering whether to have Michael on for the Garden Talk show because...
Well, he suggested it last year, and you managed to avoid it then, and... So we thought about it this time around, but realized that really it was important to have him to kick off the drive on Thursday rather than wait until Friday, where there'd be some suspicion as to whether this was a setup or not if you hadn't read the book.
1-800-383-9772. We're closing in. We got a few more minutes to go. We're before we reach the end of our program, and I tell you what, if you haven't contributed, be a first-time contributor. Maybe you haven't contributed for a couple. You know, sometimes people lapse.
That's true.
You know, we lapse on one thing or another over time. Maybe you contributed a few years ago and you sort of got out of your system a little bit. Well, come back and join the crowd. Join us at 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772. I think one of the things that converts a Wisconsin Public Radio listener to a contributor is a maybe a little bit of a sense of social responsibility. Many people who make their first ever gift tell us that they view Wisconsin Public Radio as a shared community resource. And if you get some value from it, they say, "Yeah, I got some value from it. I'm going to put something back in." So today we're asking you to consider the value you received from Wisconsin Public Radio over the past year or two or three or however many. And then please put a little something back in, not only for yourself, but for the entire community of listeners. And many people will contribute $120 right off the bat if you can afford that. That's wonderful for us. Whatever feels comfortable for you is what we'd like you to contribute. But just know that your gift does make a big difference. Every gift makes a difference. And it's very important for us. And I think it's kind of important for you, too, to feel that you're a part of our Wisconsin Public Radio contributing community. So call now. It's easy to do. It only takes a minute or two. 1-800-383-9772 or online at WPR.org. And we're pretty slick back there in our Pledge Central gym. We've got our callers back there, the folks who take the phones, are wonderful people.
They have made a pledge. They're listeners, they're pledgers, and then they have the opportunity to come in and be involved in this pledge drive. For many of them, it's the one opportunity that they have to rub elbows with somebody like yourself who, you know, is busy elsewhere on the campus and not available to them. But they are in this case, and so it's a lot of fun. And they like this involvement with Wisconsin Public Radio. It's really important to us to get your call because your calls make up the single most important element of our funding. And so at the end of the drive, we'll know that listeners have helped to create more than 30% of the budget that we have for Wisconsin Public Radio, the largest single source. And you do that at WPR.org. Your online contribution there is secure and safe. It's convenient. You don't have to make a telephone call and find a busy line. You can just do this whenever you want to. And we hope that you'll do it now and get it counted towards meeting our goal of, what was $3,900?
It's about $3,300 now.
$3,300. So we're making some headway. We want to make sure that we get there with your help and with your pledge at 800-383-9772. If you pledge $120, you can do it in cash. You can do it quarterly, monthly. However you'd like to do this, you can handle it, and we'll be happy to get your call and send the member benefit card and a copy of Truck, A Love Story by Michael Perry to you.
I should put mine on my credit card because I have one of these cards that gets air miles for every time I do. I make a contribution, and I'm one of these guys who always pays his credit card off at the end of every month, so I never run a balance on it. I used to run big balances way back when, but I don't anymore, but I put some of mine on credit. I did that once, and I got some nice miles, air miles on. You might want to do that, too. You might want to put it on your credit card and get the miles if you're like me. But listen, you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio. We would love to have your support, financial support for Wisconsin Public Radio. We're down to the last 3 minutes or so, 3.5 minutes or so of the program. So why not make your contribution now? If you've never contributed in the past, now would be a great time to do it. If you've contributed maybe a year ago and it's time again to contribute, think about that too. But we're looking for some new members, some people who have never contributed before. I'd love to have you contribute. And contribute because you enjoy hearing people like Michael Perry. You enjoy the Garden Talk shows we have on Fridays. Michael could probably have used would have been good for him to listen to a few of those Garden Talk shows.
He actually, I'm sure, is a Garden Talk listener.
You should have me on there sometime. I could single-handedly destroy your career in a space of about 45 minutes.
No, but there he is. He's looking for seed. Annalise is making her list and checking it twice, and they're ready to plant again. And
I'm like the only guy in the world I know who couldn't grow zucchini.
When you can't grow zucchini, you really need to listen to Garden Talk here on the Ideas Network. That's our Friday program, but we try to have a whole variety of shows for you during the week. Shows, guys like Michael Perry, come on, authors like Michael Perry. It's wonderful to talk to authors, but we do a lot of advice-type programs, how to do a better job gardening, how to fix your house, how to make your financial health a little better.
How to recognize whether there's a cougar in your backyard or
not.
Yeah,
well, we've had plenty of questions about that when Scott Craven's been on the program. But I tell you what, we try to do programs here during this 11 to 12:30 time slot that help you out in a lot of different ways. They might help you out emotionally. They might help you out financially. They might add a little information that you didn't know. You get a chance to talk to some wonderful authors, find out how they think and what makes them tick. So I think we're providing a service that that's good for a lot of people, and I hope it's good for you. And I hope you'll call in with a contribution. We'll be going away pretty soon. But I tell you what, now's the time to contribute because we're down to the last minute. So a $120 contribution, we'll send you a copy of the book, of Michael Perry's book, and A love story, a truck, a love story. My goodness, I'm getting excited now. Truck, a Love Story is the name of the book published by HarperCollins. And be sure, if you're in Madison area tonight at 7 o'clock, Borders West, 3750 University Avenue, you'll have a chance to meet him in person.
And you go to sneezingcow.com, you can watch him do some sledding.
Oh,
really?
That's true.
Fun
with
sledding.
I made a toboggan out of parts from a 1951 international.
Right off the hood, there it is.
Anyway, sneezingcow.com, is that what it was?
That's it.
Sneezingcow.com. Thanks for listening. Please call in with your contribution.